Welcome to a very special Built to Play. It's Games and Technology for the Arts Inclined. I'm Armin Iqbali.
And I'm Daniel Rosen. This week, E3 is upon us, and we are ill-prepared before its majesty.
We got predictions, rumors, leaks, and all kinds of speculation. Plus, Daniel is already sobbing on the floor.
Oh, God.
Before we dive into E3, I want to point out how weird an event this is. If you follow games, this might be the highlight of your year. But Dan and I wanted to get an outside opinion.
So do you know what E3 is?
No.
If you could put a guess what it is, what would you think it is?
E3? Yeah. It could be anything.
Excellent trio.
Entertainment. Enlightenment. elephant? I don't know.
Entertainment, enlightenment, elephant. That's pretty good.
It's actually pretty close, all things considered.
Something that's got to do with games. Is it like something that's got to do with games?
It does have to do with games, yes.
Oh my god.
Extended something? Enjoyable? I'm just thinking of E words
that's
now.
Mine.
And essential. Honestly, no idea.
It's a video game conference.
Yeah.
It's a very popular and important video game conference.
It's not important.
No, it's not important. It's bad.
It's clearly not so popular since I haven't heard of it.
I know electronics is one of the E's.
Have you ever followed it?
Yeah. I had a coworker who actually went a few years ago. But no, I haven't been paying attention to gaming stuff in a while, and so I kind of got confused with the consumer, you know, electronics thing that happens in January right after New Year's in Vegas.
What is E3?
E3 is the Electronics Entertainment Expo. There we go.
Okay. Is there anything you're looking forward to?
This E3 I think might be shaping up to be my favorite E3 in a lot of years. Fallout 4, for me, that's going to be a really huge one.
As the last guy said, E3 stands for the Electronic Entertainment Expo. It's running for about 20 years in the United States, and it's traditionally thought of as the most important press event for big game developers. New games get announced, console manufacturers talk about their platforms, and we get updates on games we haven't seen in a while. An easy analogy might be Comic-Con, but it's not really that. The general public typically isn't allowed to attend E3. It's not a fan event. It's more of an ambassador event. Because Conan O'Brien, The Wall Street Journal, and even a local favorite, The Globe and Mail, will make an appearance. And that's the most important part of E3. Before we dive into this specific year, E3 2015, let's go over some overriding themes.
Yeah, VR is probably a really big deal this year, like it was last year, and I think kind of the year before? It's hard to remember now. It's been so long.
It was a bigger thing at GDC, and that's a lot of the smaller events. This might be the first time we're seeing it in like a much bigger arena.
I think the difference is now, is like, I think it's finally, since all the VR stuff is launching 2016, I think it's finally ready for consumer prime time.
Yeah, because this is a consumer technology show, right?
Right, so we're finally in the space where VR is kind of being shown as less of a concept and more of the execution of it.
And we're the day we're recording this, there's also a lot of VR news as well with Oculus.
Yes, there was did you watch that Oculus conference? Because I did.
I did not watch the Oculus conference. What happened?
Boy, was it not good. So in terms of announcements, Oculus Rift is coming out Q1 2016.
All right.
Early 2016, so I guess that's not Q1 2016. It's just when it's coming out, January or February or March 2016.
It'll come out sometime around the same time as every other device, being
right.
The HTC Vive and the Sony Morpheus.
Right. It's got, what's it called? They also announced that every out of the box, every headset is going to come with an Xbox One controller. And also in 2016, they will release the proper Oculus controller, which is the Oculus Touch, which are two little like circle things you hold in your hand. Each one's sort of like a nunchuck for the Wii with buttons and a stick, and they recognize your hand motions and like gripping your hands and stuff like that. The most important announcement they made when Palmer Luckey got on stage to talk about these things was that he said, "You have two of them because you have two hands."
Oh, perfect.
I was very excited the Oculus announced that I had two hands.
They're run by Facebook now, so you think that like Facebook has witnessed what Silicon Valley presentations are like. There's got to be like a big showmanship element to this.
Everybody felt like they hadn't drank their coffee.
Yeah.
Everybody was asleep. It was super, everybody was really just sort of stilted and awkward, and it wasn't, even Steve Ballmer Ernest D. Bummer, sorry, Phil Spencer was super awkward.
And why was Phil Spencer there?
Because he was talking about how they were putting Xbox One controllers in the box for the Oculus Rift.
So that's how Microsoft is getting
into this. Microsoft's getting into the VR game by just saying they made a big deal of Windows 10, not really Xbox. The biggest thing they announced for Xbox was that you can, just like you can stream Xbox games to your Windows 10 device, you can also stream Xbox games to your Oculus Rift and play them in a virtual living room. Which, and here's the thing about that, right? A lot of people on Twitter were saying, well, I mean, to be fair, a lot of people who play games live in, you know, cramped dorms, or somebody's using the TV and they can't do it. And it's like, wow, I'm really glad that we finally reached a day where the guy who can afford thousands of dollars in expensive computer equipment and also lives in a tiny, loud dorm can play his video games in privacy.
Yeah.
If you own an Oculus Rift, you can probably play a game on that same game on your computer anyway.
So, I mean, like, let's talk about what is going to be required to get these things working. PlayStation 4 is going to probably take this stuff when it comes to the Sony Morpheus.
Yeah, and it's got, I mean, PS4 automatically outputs at 120 FPS.
Yeah.
But the Xbox One doesn't.
The Xbox One...
Which is why those games aren't being uprised to VR, they're just being played in a VR environment.
Which is hilarious.
It is rendering... The computer is rendering the living room and streaming the game footage to this virtual television.
Which is
amazing and the most cyberpunk thing I've ever heard in my life.
We're getting close to the Hikikomori neat future in which everyone lives in their house and never takes off their VR headset because my virtual living room is way better than my physical living room.
But that's such a fascinating workaround, right? That, like, the Xbox One can't do VR natively. They didn't design it for that. They didn't think that far ahead, or they didn't see VR as a huge thing. But since they want to get on that train, both your computer, when you are streaming Oculus game VR, when you're streaming Xbox games to your headset, both your computer and your Xbox One are doing processing work, because the Xbox One is processing the game, and the computer is not only having to do the work of streaming something and managing latency, but it's also creating a virtual living room for you.
Which is bananas that they have to do it that way. But
So there's that. And that's how Xbox One is handling it. PlayStation 4 obviously has Morpheus, which we don't actually know very much about in terms of a practical sense.
I mean, so, okay, the reason that we've mentioned that this is going to be incredibly expensive, because the Oculus is probably going to cost how much? Do we have a number?
We don't have a number, but let's say, what, $300?
Okay, so it's going to be $300, and what the cost of a computer that's needed to run it is going to cost you at least $1,000.
At least $1,000.
Yeah. At least that's in Canadian bucks.
And let's assume that you're buying all in. You want to get these Oculus Touch controllers. Those things are definitely at least $100 to $150, $200.
I mean, the touch controllers are just joypads for your
hands. So they're individual joypads, so the way they look, I don't know if you've seen them, they kind of are shaped sort of like the Wii Nunchuck, with
right.
a stick here and buttons here around the device, also kind of on it. They have face buttons and a stick on each one, and two shoulder buttons. But then around your arm, sort of like going down under your hand, is a semicircle.
Okay.
Which are motion sensors and trackers. There's also another button under your middle finger, which is sort of a grip button. The idea being that, like, a lot of the examples were, so if you see a thing in the game, you can move your hand down, grip it with the middle finger, and then shoot your gun that you just grip with the middle finger with the grip, and then shoot it with the index finger on the shoulder button.
Oh, that seems vaguely over-designed.
A little bit. And I understand it's very organic to a certain extent, because that is what you're doing when you are looking at a gun. You grab it, and you put your finger in the spot. But I was really sort of, and it makes sense, but I was really disappointed how every example they gave of the things you can do with the Oculus Touch were shooting and guns.
I mean, at very least, you could say it's swords or something.
Because I assumed the promise of VR to me was always like, look, you can make an immersive experience that doesn't have to be like every other game. Because
yeah.
you can display more. You can display a more immersive world.
It doesn't have to just be combat
right.
for everything.
I mean, I get that VR makes shooting cooler, but...
All right, so what percentage of companies here are going to be actually like showing VR stuff?
Okay, so according to Polygon, 10% of all the companies exhibiting at E3 this year are showing off VR tech or games. That's about 22, 23 companies, I think. There's, I think, 230 companies at E3 this year.
That's still a lot. I mean, yeah. it doesn't mean they're all big companies, but it does mean that there's a significant portion of the E3 floor that's going to be with VR headsets.
Right. And to be fair, like, it's not like they're small companies either, because Insomniac is doing a launch game for Oculus, they announced today.
Right. Oculus also apparently funding indie games.
Yeah, they're also kicking in $10 million to fund indie games on Oculus.
Right.
It's like, wow, I cannot wait for the feeding frenzy for that to start.
That's going to be interesting. I really hope that they reach in for, because the fun thing about indie games is that they are such a diverse range range of ideas. Mm-hmm. I do hope they approve things that aren't just going to be blanket system sellers.
Yeah.
In any case, what is... Okay, so that's a lot of VR nonsense.
Yeah.
But I think there's a more tangible thing that we're going to be looking for at E3, and that's, like, why did I buy this thing?
Right. Why do we own a... as for me, why do I own a PlayStation 4? Why do we own Xbox Ones?
Why do we, the collective we as a society, care about consoles?
The royal this... we. Why do... Why...
do the royal we...
Why does the royal we care about the Wii U? Well, because that's the Wii U, not the royal we.
Right. I mean, it is kind of confusing at that point.
But... I mean, a little bit. That's why they should have called it the Super Wii.
All right, so...
The Royal Super Wii.
We have heard a few... So one of the big complaints we've heard in the last few months is that there are no video games. We've had a few more that have been announced. Mm-hmm. So what has changed? Before we don't dive into the more publisher-exclusive stuff, what do we have on our table?
In terms of this year?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's Batman, Arkham Knight.
But that's going to be like a week after E3 at this point,
yeah.
Right?
There's definitely a Call of Duty. I don't think we know its name yet.
There's an Assassin's Creed.
Assassin's Creed Syndicate, which is not related to the Syndicate reboot.
No, which is not having a sequel.
Is that it?
No, there's...
The Yoshi game?
The Yoshi game is coming out. Has Nintendo have announced anything else for their lineup?
No, but they'll announce a Pokemon at E3, and those always come out in the fall.
Okay, and... okay, so there's Metal Gear Solid 4,
Metal Gear
5?
5, yep.
That's going to be out. So, okay, it's thin.
Yeah, a little bit. Oh, that Mad Max game.
The Mad Max game, which apparently is getting really middled opinions on.
Yeah, so...
And that's not going to be a console exclusive. That's just going to be...
That's
thing.
Everything.
Oh, and Halo 5.
Halo 5, that's the big one.
Yep.
So that's it, though.
That's all the video games.
That's every video game from now until the end of time.
And you could fit, like, you could if more than one of these comes out in the month, I'd be
yeah,
surprised.
Most of those are November.
Yeah, which is crazy. So that means there's nothing in October, more or
no,
less.
No, nothing in October, nothing. Metal Gear Solid 5 is the only thing in September.
Yeah.
Pokemon will be October.
Yeah. And then something.
Something. I don't know what the heck July is.
Anyway, so...
I don't know what August is.
The problem with consoles right now is that unless you're like buying up all the new indie games that are coming out, there's not a big reason to own one.
Yeah, PlayStation 4 is great because it's just every indie game, and those are all free through PS Plus for the most part. But
and Xbox One is kind of getting in on that. What was the game that came out this week? A Massive Chalice.
Massive Chalice, yeah.
That's right now it's exclusive to Xbox One, and it's free if you have Games for Gold.
Mm-hmm. So it's like they're basically just giving away these indie games for free, though. Which, I mean, it's not a great way to get people pumped about them, I don't think.
No, I mean, well, to be...
It's a great way to get them to try them.
It's a great way to get them to try them, and it's a good way to get them, like, interested in their subscription service, which is kind of what they're going for here.
Yeah.
What is actually on the plate that we can foresee? So
let's start... Well, I think we should do this by press conference in order.
Okay, so first press conference on the docket is newcomer to this, to the ring. It's Bethesda.
Right. So we know they're going to be talking about Fallout 4. Fallout 4, A Pup Named Scooby-Doo. That trailer was very dog-centric.
I mean, it's also the first time they've shown the backstory of the Fallout world in any way. Like,
I mean, is it, though? Fallout 1 and 2 were pretty heavily... And Fallout 2, 1 and 2 had, like, a Bible that came with them, basically.
Yeah, but they didn't like, show scenes. And it didn't...
That's true.
This might actually have gameplay in those past... Which I'd hope they don't spend too much time there, but it might actually have a few moments from there. Okay, so Fallout 4, but a lot of people have discussed that game in full. Don't really need to go in there forever. But Doom 4?
Doom 4, which is kind of a mystery to a certain extent. Like, we know it's happening. But
they released, like, what was it, a 10, 20-second trailer?
Yeah, like, it's a Doom game. It'll be a first-person shooter. There will be demons to shoot on Mars.
But, I mean, what is Doom?
Like, yeah, what does Doom represent?
Doom 1 and Doom 2 were represented at first, were the biggest first-person shooters of their time.
Right.
And they were revolutions in the way those things were designed.
And then, what, Doom 3 was the first, like, really huge 3D FPS.
It was the first... And it didn't actually make all that many waves, though, because it was like you had to, because of the relationship between the, you had to have a flashlight.
Yeah.
And then you didn't have your gun out. So it was actually kind of a horror game in some respects.
Right. But, and Doom 3 was basically responsible for the Unreal Engine, though.
Yeah. No, not the Unreal Engine. Doom 3, no. that's.
Well, I know that's Epic, but I feel like that was, Unreal Tournament came out of Doom 3, like Deathmatches, didn't it?
No, that was Unreal Tournament.
I know, but I thought that was inspired by it, no?
No.
Or was
no,
that just parallel?
That was just parallel. They came out the same year.
Oh, did they? Okay, so never mind then. I'm just dumb.
No, that's just... The funny thing about Doom 3 was that it was supposed to be... like Epic, what they used to do was release an Unreal Tournament game to say, hey, look, this is what you can do.
Here's a new engine, yeah.
Here's a new engine.
Doom 3 was supposed to be the Doom engine, yeah.
The new Doom engine, the new id engine that they had in work.
Yeah.
And turns out you can only use that engine for Doom 3 type games, and that's why nothing was made
on
that
Doom
engine.
3 engine. That I remember.
Yeah.
That was a disaster.
It's also why id basically vanished into obscurity very soon after. Like, what was it? It was
they'd poured so much money to that game.
The next game
and
they
nobody
had...
nobody used it.
One quick thing I thought I should mention about Doom 4. Yep. This game has been in the works for years.
Right.
Millions of years.
So I feel like it's been canceled multiple times, and we're finally seeing, like, a thing that's worth seeing.
And there have been rumors up there about basically what the old version of this game was, which was, hey, you're in a post-apocalyptic camp somewhere.
Yeah.
Who knows if this one, like, supposedly Doom is set on Mars, except it's hell.
Yeah.
So
the demons all come from Mars.
So I'm wondering, like, is this going to, like, that's kind of crazy and is kind of acceptable for a game, but it was just basically shoot things out of your face into other objects. What is this going to be?
Here's my prediction. You will pop in the disc for Doom 4, or it is simply called Doom because it's a reboot.
Right.
And it will just be the movie Doom from 2006, I think.
Right.
On HD DVD.
It's going to be the...
with button prompts.
It's going to be that first-person shooter section of Doom with the Rock.
Movie. Exactly. And it's going to be on HD DVD, so you definitely can't watch it.
All right. We were talking about the new games that were coming up.
Right. So I think probably in Elder Scrolls, right?
I'm going to mention something. Well, do you know what? We'll mention something about Elder Scrolls Online at the very least.
At the very least. But nobody cares about Elder Scrolls Online.
Like, it's doing real poorly from what I hear.
It went free to play.
Yeah. It went way faster than Star Wars The Old Republic did.
Yeah. But we'll probably hear. I think we'll probably hear about Elder Scrolls 6.
Yes.
Skyrim 2.
Or something like just saying, hey, look, we have other games in the work. This engine is super versatile.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what we can do with it. Arcane is working on something, and I'm really crossing my fingers for a new Dishonored.
What would you really do in a Dishonored 2, though?
They did a lot of really good world building. There are other continents.
Right.
There are other islands, basically. You're in an assassin in this world's equivalent of the British Isles.
Okay.
There's
a France.
But your
out there.
Character is from the equivalent of Italy.
Right.
I think it's called Circinen is like their Italy. Some fantasy creature. There's a France, there's an Italy. The world is controlled by four superpowers, and they are France, Italy, England, and the New World. And the New World is controlled by telepathic Cthulhu whales.
I mean, that's a real statement on Native American, unfortunately.
And I'm really into the concept of, I would really like to go explore a world controlled by telepathic Cthulhu whales.
That seems pretty awesome.
But also, I would kind of like to see their take on Italy.
That'd be neat. All of that stuff. It's basically like steampunk Europe.
Yeah.
Steampunk Europe plus the United States, kind of.
It's fun.
All right. What are your bets on Rage 2?
That's the thing. So I think... I think we should take this. Do you think Rage 2 or Prey 2? What do you think we're going to see?
So this is we're talking about here. This is a new segment specifically just for this episode called The Long Shot.
Yep.
It has nothing to do with the X-Men character, although in our hearts.
It may be.
At
some point it will definitely be because, I mean, who doesn't love a mullet?
Yeah, who doesn't love a mullet? So I'm going to go with Prey 2 has yet to be officially canceled. Rage was a
bottom-selling Borderlands knockoff.
Yes. And the engine turns out the Gamebryo engine, was that thing was called? Turns out not super useful for anything else. They tried to make an open world game out of it and didn't go very well. I would maybe want to go with Prey 2. I would be more optimistic for a Prey 2. I would want a Prey 2.
I still want Prey 2. I still think the concept for Prey 2 is really interesting.
I mean, it was basically bounty hunter in space.
It's your space amnesiac bounty hunter who is also solving his own murder.
Yeah, which is a neat idea any way you put it. It's a noir story, which is what they pitched that game as.
Alien noir.
Yeah.
You're Johnny Prey. Wasn't you like a pilot in Prey 1, a Native American pilot who also lost his memory?
Yeah, and apparently he's in this game too somewhere.
Yeah, he's like some figure somewhere. Like, it's a great idea because Prey is nonsense.
Yeah.
I would rather a Prey 2, but because I know how fickle the world is and how the universe works, it will be Rage 2.
Yeah. Like, the thing is, I'm more optimistic for...
In fact, do you know the company Falcom, the Japanese developer?
Yeah, I've heard of him.
So they have a big thing where all their game series are sort of tied together, where, like, Legacy of the Wizard 4 is also Dragon Slayer 2.
Right.
I think Elder Scrolls 6 is Rage 2.
It's like Etrian Odyssey style. This is the post-apocalypse version of our fantasy
this
world.
Is the post-apocalypse when the fantasy land ends.
Rage
begins.
Gets
hit by a nuke. Rage begins. When everything ends, there is only rage.
It's like anti-Adventure Time.
Yeah,
that's pretty awesome. Okay,
but it's still the cartoony style.
I would dig
fun
that.
For kids.
The post-apocalypse, as Adventure Time has proven.
Speaking of the end times,
Microsoft is next in our list. they have pretty big ones, such as Halo 5.
They have Halo 5 Guardians.
Forza, probably?
Forza Horizon 2.
Is that the 2?
It is 2.
Okay. They have. Is Phantom Dust the thing?
Phantom Dust is. So last year, they announced 2 big-ish games, like stuff that nobody knew what it was, but they announced a remake, a reboot of Phantom Dust, an original Xbox JRPG.
Okay, so. That's dumb, and that's...
Yeah. The developer who was working on that reboot, though, Darkside Games, was shut down and fired everybody.
Right.
In February.
Because they wanted a big multiplayer section of that game or something.
Something. But somebody had shut down that game, but now, apparently, Microsoft says they're still working on it.
Okay. Well, I guess they own all the assets that were made from that game, so they could just hand it off to another developer.
Right, but we don't know who that developer is, or if that is still in existence, you know, 4 or 5 months later. They also had Scalebound, which is a Platinum game.
Okay.
Starring Dante with the voice of Sonic the Hedgehog, if you remember that.
I do not remember that.
You don't remember the guy who was like, he had white hair and was listening to headphones and he turned into an armored guy and fought a dragon and made Sonic noises?
Right. That was a trailer at our last press conference.
Yeah, no gameplay, just trailer. So I presume we'll see gameplay that this time.
Okay, and what's the long shot for Microsoft?
I'm saying the long shot is Rise 2, Daughters of the Revolution. Set against the backdrop of the American Revolution, you play a young girl who rises up and avenges her father's death, and joins. And you have a choice to join either the Confederate Army or the
Confederate Army is in the Civil War. So are we meshing time
periods? I'm messing this up here. Yes, it's also a time travel game. No, you have a choice to join either. You can either betray. It's halfway through the game. You can betray the Americans, or I guess the new Union to the Redcoats.
Okay.
With obviously a season pass that will add the War of 1812.
Oh, perfect.
As vengeance.
In which you can fight as the Canadians against the...
Do you have a long shot for Microsoft that isn't Rise, Daughter of Rome? Daughter of Revolution?
My long shot for Microsoft would just be...
A video game?
A video game that works. Like, what? Hey, what if Halo 5's multiplayer worked? That'd be a long shot.
Nope, not gonna happen.
No.
It's not gonna happen.
My long shot would be Blue Dragon 2.
Yeah. Well, there was Blue Dragon 2. It was called Blue Dragon Plus for DS.
Right, I forgot that
you
was a video game.
You are already living in the world of your own dreams.
I better pick that game up.
It's not good. It's not good. It's an RTS.
Oh, they made a mistake. That was bad. That's a dumb idea.
I mean, that game was the first game was bad. The second game was worse.
Speaking of dumb ideas, what's next on the list?
Next is EA, which, if you watched their presentation last year, it will be the same thing this year, but with feeling, with emotions. David Cage will be there.
Okay, last year what they showed was basically nonsense.
It was pre-alphas, right?
It was like, hey, we have an idea for a video game.
Hey guys, have you heard of video games?
It was, what if video games? Have you heard of those?
Have you heard of video games?
Also, Battlefront.
Yeah.
Star Wars.
But not a trailer for Battlefront. Just
concepts.
People walking around a forest and saying, we could use this for Battlefront. This kind of looks like Yavin.
So, wait, were they cosplayers?
Yeah, they were Ewok cosplayers.
Just in their LARP,
they were Ewok LARPing, going, we could make a video game.
I'm glad that's how video games are made.
It's
everyone
very difficult
up
to teach an Ewok to program because of the pause. It's hard for them to type.
I see. All right, so any war? Probably some Star Wars spinoffs.
We'll see some Star Wars Battlefront. We'll see Star Wars spinoff. We'll see a tie in to Force Unleashed. I'm sure we'll see a Force Unleashed to the game, even if it's for like iOS or something. We'll see Star Wars lunchboxes, Star Wars flamethrowers.
Why would EA be making a Star Wars lunchbox?
It's a Spaceballs joke.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
It's a Spaceballs joke.
All right.
Listen, that's part of... Spaceballs is part of my cultural heritage.
Yeah, that... No, you're owed that.
Yeah.
It's part of the reparations.
Mel Brooks is our reparations, I guess.
Okay, so...
Mass Effect 4? It is a new single-player Mass Effect made by BioWare Montreal.
Weird. Okay, so Mass Effect 4. And they did say they were making a Mass Effect game last E3.
Yeah, so that was what they're showing. They're talking. It's that same Mass Effect game. They canceled the multiplayer-focused one sometime last year.
Okay.
This game will have multiplayer, but it will be is made by a totally separate team.
Okay.
In Montreal.
So more games. Great.
We are both people who like Mass Effect.
Yes.
What do you want out of a new Mass Effect?
I honestly just want to see, like, take this game from a different perspective. Mm-hmm. I want this game to be more personal. Like, I don't want to save the world again or the mm-hmm. universe. Because that is, like, so where do you go from there?
I have had a pitch for Mass Effect 4 ever since the end of Mass Effect 3, and I don't think I've discussed it with you before, and that is, I mean, listen, Mass Effect is a giant Star Trek ripoff.
Right.
Ripoff Voyager.
What would that entail?
Well, see, at the end of Mass Effect, so spoilers for the end of Mass Effect 3, but no matter what ending you do, you destroy the Mass Effect relays.
Right.
So all the relays are gone. Somebody had to be out there in the reaches of space.
Right.
The relays fly you across billions of light years at a time. There's got to be galaxies between that. Your goal is to make it back home and figure out what the hell happens.
That would be.
You're stuck in the lost region of space. It has to be a very personal game because you're stuck with only what's on your ship, and you can recruit people as you go.
And that's like Battlestar Galactica style,
almost. Yeah, and so it's just about getting home. You have an end goal, just sort of like same with Mass Effect 2. You have your end goal from the very beginning of the game, and it's simply about having the right crew to make it home. So according to leaks based on surveys that have been put, like consumer surveys that people felt to show interest, this is the exact same way Dragon Age Inquisition leaked. So this takes place hundreds of years or thousands of years after Shepard. You are an alliance, like pioneer, basically, explorer sent out to colonize the Helios cluster. And a whole bunch of different alien races are sent out to colonize, and it's just colonization wars.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. Why would... You know, colonization is bad, guys.
Yeah.
I just want to point that out.
But it's space colonization.
Yeah. I mean,
there's probes.
I mean, as...
Armon, there are probes.
You're right. As believers in aliens have taught us, probes are great.
Probes? A-plus to the probes.
Yep.
There's also, speaking in the sequel category, it's going to be Mirror's Edge 2, which is a game I think I and only I am excited about.
Well, I mean, if they manage to get rid of...
All the shooting,
or make the shooting, like, tolerable and tiny, like, and not a big part of that game.
I just don't want any shooting. I'm just going to go on the limb here. No shooting, no guns. I just want to run and jump. I want first-person Sonic the Hedgehog, darn it.
If they manage to make that game better path navigation, and also maybe don't make me sick while I play it...
That would be nice.
That would be great.
I didn't get sick, but I know that happened for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Boy, I cannot wait for somebody to be streaming that from their Xbox One to their Oculus Rift and playing that in a virtual living room.
All right, and Criterion's making The Crew 2.
Yeah.
So what is...
Open-world racer that we saw in literal pre-alpha last year with, like, just bare-bones models with no textures.
It's amazing that we got through a whole E3 where EA just said, no, guys, we're working on stuff, we promise.
Just 2016, the conference.
What's the long shot?
My long shot is a reboot of Mule. Danny Button's spacefaring, roguelike competitive board game.
All right, that's a good one.
Do you have an EA long shot?
Dead Space 4, where you play as the God Moons and you conquer worlds.
Cool. I'm into it.
It'd go there full. Like, Dead Space 3 was basically
now,
a power fantasy.
Now, here's my question. Where do you add the microtransactions for the power God Moons?
Well, the microtransactions are clearly your moon powers.
Oh, I see. You only have so much moon power.
Exactly. And then, so you can only use it, you can only play as the moon. The moons get tired, you see?
Nice.
And after a certain amount of time, you can boost their energy with moon juice.
Have you heard that Metal Gear Solid 5 has microtransactions?
Oh, whatever is microtransactions.
We don't know what they are, but Konami has said there are microtransactions.
Oh.
Because Konami's just racing to the worst company award, I guess.
Like, just to make everyone excited?
People were into this game. What can we do about that? Moving on to companies no one's excited about.
The one that's in our own backyard, it's Ubisoft. And unfortunately, I looked on Twitter today, and I found that one of the level designers at Ubisoft Toronto was like, hey, Built to Play looks like a great show. We're gonna disappoint you in this segment, unfortunately.
Well, we've interviewed one of the level designers for Assassin's Creed on this podcast before.
We have.
On this very podcast, and I apologize to that gentleman, because that game was terrible.
Assassin's Creed Unity, broken game. So what's this new broken game they're working on?
They're working on Assassin's Creed Syndicate, which, as we've mentioned, has nothing to do with the Syndicate reboot.
It is a Victorian London game.
It is the Oliver Twist game. You are the head of a gang of thieves. Or thieves, if you're Gambit. God, somebody get me a Louisiana Bayou Assassin's Creed.
They already did that. It was called, it was the game with the only female assassin.
Oh, you're
assassin.
Right. I totally forgot. They totally did.
And I think there was a Thieves Guild in that game.
Oh, man. All right. I'll have to go play that. Is that Vita?
It was Vita and then PS3.
Okay. I'm going to go play Gambit the video game, then. are you excited about this game?
No. I mean, do we need to explore any further? It's a game where you run around and pretend to be an assassin in the past, but you're actually a person in the future. Like, that's all that game is. That's all those games are.
And, well, yeah. I mean.
Sometimes you're in a boat.
sometimes you are about. There'll probably be a Rayman game at Ubisoft.
I like those Rayman games. You do not like those
I
Rayman
do not
games.
Like those Rayman games, but I'm a stickler about 2D platformers.
Rayman is the game in which you play as a man with no limbs.
If I wanted to play a crappy Sonic, I would play a Sonic game.
I like, hey,
I would play an on-brand Sonic game.
Those worlds are colorful, the platforming is challenging, and it is a fun game. You're basically walking from one end of the map and then occasionally playing rock songs. I am into that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the Division!
The Division, your game of the year.
Yeah, so I have Infamous here built to play for liking the Division 2 years ago at E3.
Okay, I've been suffering from my Rise Son of Rome talk for
a while now.
For my life, I think. My whole life, as far as I can remember.
Retroactively.
Yeah.
The Division is what looked to be, and what we now know as, is basically Ubisoft's version of Destiny.
Yep.
Fundamentally, in that it was a multiplayer game in which you did... It was an open-world multiplayer game in which people attempted to play... a shooter together.
Where they LARPed playing a shooter.
Yeah, they LARPed playing a shooter in what sounded like the end of the world. It's a Tom Clancy game for no... I don't know why.
It's being finished by the Far Cry 4 team.
Which is... I mean, okay. I mean, Far Cry 4 was a decent game.
I guess.
Okay.
I feel like Far Cry 4 is just checklists of video game, though.
And, I mean, I remember one of the famous things about The Division being two things. One, a character touched a door.
Yep. Because that was a big deal.
That was a big graphics thing.
God,
characters touching doors.
Can you remember when we lived on such a naive time?
Yeah. The other thing was that you can play the game on your iPad as a helicopter. You can be a drone. You can, if you're on the bus and your friends are playing The Division, they're like, I need you.
I need a drone.
You can
And
be...
you're just like, well, I can't fall asleep. I have a big meeting, so I can't play Hyrule Warriors.
I can't fall asleep in this bus. I need to get off at the right stop.
But I can drone it up.
I can drone it up. I can be The Division. I don't think that game's going to be great.
Watch Dogs 2.
That first game was bad. That first game was real awful,
Do you think
guys.
They'll make a Watch Dogs 2?
They have to. Like, they spent so much money in Watch Dogs. They spent so much money on the modern open world Ubisoft game.
The Assassin's Creed game where you aren't in a virtual reality.
I just want to talk about how much of a disappointment Watch Dogs is. It's a bad open world game with a bad story about basically a monstrous jerk who sacrifices his friends and family in order to proceed his goal of being Batman, except he murders everyone for no apparent reason. Watch Dogs was a bad game, guys. If you want to make a Watch Dogs 2, I really hope you don't use Aiden Pierce.
You know what Watch Dogs 2 was missing?
A character who wasn't a douchebag?
A button that let you put on a V-mask.
Yeah, pretty much.
I feel like that's basically all that game was missing, to be just the most on the nose.
All right, Daniel, what's your long shot?
My long shot is, I don't know, a game that's not a sequel to something.
I think you're hoping too high.
I am hoping too high. Here's what I actually want out of Ubisoft, other than that ARG, because I don't actually want to play an Assassin's Creed game.
Okay.
Here's what I want. What I want is Zombie U 2.
That would be a really cool game. You're right. I've been thinking a lot about Zombie U the last few days. Zombie U was basically a modern world Dark Souls.
Yeah, it was very Dark Souls-y. I loved its inventory management system. People really complained about that being unfriendly, but that was the point.
They made a Red Steel 2, and that game was garbage.
Yes, both those games are garbage. Completely different from each other. Different kinds of garbage.
Yeah.
Actually, can I change my long shot? VR Project Morpheus Red Steel 3. that uses PlayStation Move controllers as your sword and guns.
Considering it's a bad idea, I think they're making it already.
Yeah, they've been working on it for years.
All right, Sony.
They've been working on it from the moment Red Steel 2 was finished.
they saw the future.
Yeah. Sony has got Uncharted, which was delayed into 2016.
All right, so that was Uncharted 5?
Uncharted
4?
4.
Okay.
Uncharted 4, A Thief's End.
All right.
The last Uncharted. It's not the last Uncharted.
They have the Ratchet & Clank movie.
Yeah, and the game that's the remake of the first game.
Is it remake of the first game?
It is like a reimagining of the first game.
But, I mean, wasn't that first game basically like, hey, my Clank got on my ship and my stuff got destroyed. Let's find this guy.
Yeah.
But didn't that movie trailer then have like, you're a hero, Ratchet. And wasn't like Quark a bad guy in that game?
Yeah. So I think that the other part of the game is that Ratchet really wants to be a Galactic Ranger or whatever.
Okay.
That's what he's trying to like say, like get the guy who like, you know, who Clank wants him to get, because that's what the hero does. And Quark is like his mentor until he reveals himself to be the bad guy the whole time.
Okay.
That's the part
spoilers.
Of Ratchet.
Spoilers.
Like, spoilers for like 10-year-old game and a movie that, and a negative 1-year-old movie.
So Ratchet and Clank, it's a long series of video games that I think we both have some affection for.
Yeah, I mean, they're okay. They're fine.
I really liked the first and third one. Okay, so then there was... So Ratchet & Clank, and that game will probably be using scenes from the movie in its own game, according to that trailer.
There's a lot of gameplay out now. Like, a lot of people previewed it. I think IGN had like 14 minutes of it. It looks fine. It looks cute. It's very colorful. It's very pretty.
Which is not something you see often on these systems.
No.
So, hey...
Listen, this is the game Knack should have been.
Yeah.
It's a bright, colorful platformer, and not bad.
And has interesting guns.
It's also 2016.
And this is the thing we're clearly all excited for. Power Season 2!
Yeah, I really can't wait for my annual address from Brian Michael Bendis.
Which he came on last year. So.
Half an hour.
That was bad. I pitied you.
There was Morpheus.
Yeah, that's going to be a thing.
We'll
see
some Morpheus games.
Yeah, we heard a bit about that. We talked a bit about that earlier.
Yep.
Okay, what is there... What else?
They have... I mean, I don't know what they have, because, who knows? They have no games. The Order 1887, but...
They had the God of War.
God of War, that's this year. That's their only game this year.
The God of War Collection. It's just an old God of War games remade for now.
And also... Well, it's the PS3 God of War Collection plus the newest God of War, which is also a PS3 game.
Perfect.
There are rumors that Mark Cerny's team is finishing off The Last Guardian, which, at this point, whatever. Like, it sounds legit. Can we just leave that game alone?
2016, my bet.
You're going to bet that. You're going to put your money on the
table
right
here. Fall 2016.
Fall 2016, The Last Guardian. Do you think it will be good?
No.
Okay. That is a bet I will take. It'll be terrible.
But I think, at this point, Last Guardian is enough of a joke, but we could probably explain it. How many years ago was The Last Guardian?
Oh, boy. Six? Seven? Maybe more.
But
was that 2008?
Yeah. There's a team that's in Japan known for making these games that are...
Team Ico.
Team Ico, famous for making Ico. They make emotional combat games. Basically, it's very personal stories based around usually a single hero. Combat is usually hamstrung in some way. So in the first game, you're fighting. You have to guide a woman around and help her escape. And you're actually a really weak character. In the second one, you're a hero, but you're facing against giant colossi. And also, you may be the monster. This game looked to be that, but you are with a giant monster. Like, you're with a giant creature.
Who will almost certainly die.
Yeah, because it's cute.
And Mark Cerny's team... Mark Cerny was, of course, lead engineer on the PS4 and also the guy who made Knack.
Okay. So this game's gonna be great. Knack being a terrible video game.
Oh, just a bad game. He also made Marble Madness 2, though.
Oh, he did.
That's a great game.
Yeah, well, okay, what's the long shot, then?
PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale 2 for the Wonderbook. I'm very excited about Morpheus because you know what? Sony does such a great job of supporting their hardware. Like the Vita and the Vita TV and the Wonder Book and the PlayStation Move and the PlayStation Eye and the PlayStation Eye Toy.
Hey, they finally found a place for the PlayStation Move so they can ignore both VR and motion controls together.
At the same time. Yeah. They're really efficient and they're in just ignoring the things they make and ask people to spend money on. What's your long shot for this?
My long shot is, I guess it would just be an exclusive game that actually would be new. Hey, imagine
that, wow.
Imagine Sony putting effort and time into a game that people actually care about.
You know, there's rumors of a new medieval game.
Nintendo!
So, it's just going to be a list.
I want you to, close your eyes, say words that you think Nintendo might have. Thought association.
Just free association. Okay, tell me what I'm free associating. Just say the word.
We're going to start at Zelda. Where are you going to go from here?
Phantoms.
Okay, next. Okay, Star Fox.
Furries.
Pokemon.
Furries.
Yoshi.
Furries.
Mario Maker.
Furries?
Fire Emblem?
Oh, Yowie.
All right, so that's...
There's your hot takes, hot preview. Oh, you know, there are furries in Fire Emblem Awakening, too. So, okay.
Perfect.
That's it.
Fire Emblem looks to be the best anime game released for
you
Wii U.
Can touch the faces of your comrades in this game. You can pet them like you could Pokemon. They added the petting the Pokemon feature to Fire Emblem If. Which is that's exactly what that game was missing.
So, do we have... Nintendo doesn't have any big games out this year. They have Mario Maker
They have Yoshi. Yoshi's Woolly World.
And I think they have said Mario Maker will be coming out at some point.
Yes, Mario Maker is this year. They'll have a Pokemon. They'll definitely, definitely announce Pokemon. Because there's a Pokemon every year. And they always announce at E3 and it's always out by the fall.
Right, so would we be in for a new one? Or
I have a bet going with a friend of mine who's a big Pokemon fan. He's saying it's a brand new one. I'm saying it's X2, Y2. For a while, I thought it was going to be Z, but then I looked it up, and Black 2, Y2 sold way, way better than any third version ever has.
Yes, it's going to be an X2, Y2, yeah. Which makes... I'm looking forward to Pokemon X2, the adjacent sequel to the Final Fantasy X2.
It's gonna star Yuna in her journey to be a Pokemon Master. It's going to be great.
I just hope it has way more pop themes.
Yeah, oh man. I don't know. X had a lot of pop themes. X and Y. Their soundtrack is very accordion heavy, but...
I want more dancing.
That game had dancing.
Yeah. what's the long shot here?
Long shot, a game about Marvel's Long Shot, because I want Long Shot in Smash Bros.
Okay.
Do you have anything you want on Nintendo? Because Nintendo's a complete mystery. They'll have like 7,000 games they announce and will not know what any of them are.
I want to know what's happening with the Xenogears game.
The Xenoblade game? Well, Xenoblade X came out in Japan already.
Yeah, I just want to know when it's coming out here.
Oh, yeah.
My long shot is that they'll tell us.
Anime Skyrim, I can't wait.
Yep. You can look off, and if you can see something in the distance, you can go there, Daniel.
Yeah. Hey, listen, that was actually true of Xenoblade, so...
That was actually true. And
That was impressive. Like, oh, hey, you actually made good on that stupid promise. You know what Xenoblade was missing? I couldn't plant an acorn and grow a tree. So I'm really hoping Xenoblade Chronicles X lets me do that.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Yep.
Okay, then the last one on our list is Square Enix, which is a newcomer. Have they had
never had an E3 press conference before.
So it's going to, it's going to be a new Final Fantasy VII.
Yep.
For PS4 that is a remake of PC.
It's actually VR Final Fantasy Snowboarding.
Man.
You know, Square Enix was on the list of developers that Oculus showed off that are like, here's the guys making Rift games. I'm like, ooh, boy.
You partnered with the wrong, I really hope you meant Eidos.
So they'll probably talk about Final Fantasy XV. They said it won't be at the show and there won't be too much new, but I'm sure they have a new trailer.
Yeah, whatever. They had like pieces of it at PAX East.
Yep.
They
have that new Tomb Raider that's Xbox One exclusive.
Or at least it's going to be temporarily exclusive.
I think Microsoft's paying for it the same way Sony's paying for Street Fighter V.
Right, so it might just end up being forever. The new Deus Ex.
New Deus Ex.
Machine thing?
Deus Ex Machine Man.
Okay.
Deus Ex Guy of War. Machine Dude with Guns.
The sequel to the... Deus Ex being the cyberpunk sequel to that other cyberpunk sequel that was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
That was based on like the... That had fashion based on the Renaissance and made everyone look like weird clown people.
That's as accurate a description as you could possibly give about Deus Ex. We're getting to the end of the show, so we're getting real punchy. We've talked about video games too long. Yeah. We usually only do half of this time.
Yeah.
Here's some guesses.
Dragon Quest.
Yes, Square Enix is publishing Dragon Age 4. It's crazy.
Dragon Quest 11, the long-running series.
Yeah, that's actually probably a PS4 game, which is a bad idea, but...
Hey,
you know what
would
be great? If they would translate that 3DS port of Dragon Quest 8 into English.
Weird.
Because I would love to play that game, but Dragon Quest games don't come out in America anymore.
Nope, because 10 didn't sell hotcakes like they did in Japan.
Well, 10 didn't come out here.
What?
No, 10 never came out here.
Oh, it was 9.
9 did sell well here. It just didn't sell, like, Japan numbers.
Well, in Japan, it sold as much as Madden did. Which
here.
Here, which is crazy.
In Japan, every household had 7 copies of Dragon Quest IX. They just sort of sat around the table and stared at them.
They had reports of, like, significant numbers of people skipped out on work to play Dragon Quest.
Man. Bravely Default 2, Bravely Second.
That's gotta be there for sure.
Yeah.
And what's your long shot?
Urguise 2, God Bless the Ring again.
That is never gonna happen.
I want Urguise. You have no idea how much I want Urguise 2.
You know, you don't know how much I want Nier 2.
You know how, well, I really want Nier 2.
Or what was it? Something.
Because Nier 2 is just Drakengard, like, 3.5.
Right. And what's Guns of Resonance? What was the
Fate, Resonance of
no, Fate. Resonance of Fate. Resonance of Fate 2.
Was that Square Enix? That was Sega.
That was Sega. It's gonna be a Square Enix game.
Tri-Ace doesn't exist anymore.
Tri-Ace will come back to life.
From the dead.
From the dead to publish with Square Enix.
Here's the thing. I want Urguise again because I don't think there has ever been a better tagline for a game than God Bless the Ring. Alternatively, I'll take Einhander 2, or I'll take Square Enix selling the rights to Einhander to, I don't know, a Dojin PC company so we can finally get the game that name was meant to be for. Einhander, yeah. Anybody else?
Platinum, what do we have here?
Platinum, I mean, they'll have Scalebound, but they said they have a new game, and they tweeted out a picture of Vanquish, said, hey, exciting things for E3, so I'm very, very excited about my favorite Platinum game getting a sequel. I am the world's only Vanquish fan, I think.
That was the one good Japanese first-person shooter.
It was a third-person shooter.
Third-person shooter.
It's not that it was the one good one. It's just, Vanquish is the only game in which you can slow down time, do a rocket power slide on your feet while a power cord plays, and shoot a rocket into a giant spider.
That game's pretty good.
Vanquish is incredible.
All right, and then on the opposite side of that spectrum, what's Activision up to?
Activision will have their Call of Duty, and they will have Destiny. They will have the new Destiny expansion.
And what else?
Persona 5 might be around.
Right.
I have a feeling Sony will talk about Persona 5 at their conference. Because
yeah,
that's
be
a
neat.
Big exclusive.
Yeah, that's
it looks great. We haven't seen it. We haven't heard from it in a while.
It looks like what was it? The what did we talk about when that trailer came out? It looks like thieves from like magical thieves heist people.
Magical girl thieves guild. We're talking a lot about thieves guild today.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a very gambit centric E3.
Horizon question mark?
Yeah, I mean there will be indie games. I'm wondering what will be the indie games out of it. It's always hard to say. Do you think Fez 2 will finally make its comeback?
I mean, most everyone left that company, and like even. Marie-Christine Bourdois is, like, working here now.
I feel like that's our long shot, is yeah, Fez 2, Fez 2. For Horizon. But is there anything you particularly are excited about?
The Division 2.
Just skip right over it.
Division 1 is going to be a complete failure, and I'm going to get the Destiny 3. That's yep. Those are the two games I'm really
Destiny
excited 3. For.
Are you counting Destiny expansion as Destiny 2?
No. That's why... No, I'm just... Destiny 2 is going to be bad,
okay.
And then Destiny 3 is going to be the one I want.
Yeah.
It's going to be the game that I'm they owe me.
Okay.
For all the time I spent getting raid ready, for hovering over both the expansions multiple times, saying, should I buy this? I've been realizing, well, I have no friends who want to play, who want to, like, you don't realize the game of, like, hey, do you want to, like, you have a PS3, right? What if I just bought you a copy of Destiny? Like, would you play with me? Like, oh, this man. Is borderline bribing friends on your
it's like
on the playground.
It's like how I play Hearthstone. I just keep talking about Hearthstone until my friends play it, and then I just add them to my friends list.
Like you're a demon soul
happened
collector?
Three times last month.
Are you just the devil? Like, is that what...
Yep. I'm very excited about Dark Souls 3, which is apparently a thing.
And apparently the guy who worked on Bloodborne is going to be working on that, Miyazaki?
No, it's... Well, yeah, Miyazaki's directing it, which he didn't direct Dark Souls 2.
He's going to be... Yeah, but he did direct Bloodborne.
He did, which I'm not a hugest Bloodborne fan in the world, but it was good. It's not a bad game.
But yeah, I think that's...
That's good. Is there a particular long shot?
Is there, like, anything, like, realistic?
Is there anything just absolutely crazy that you would be out of your... You would be excited for that just isn't going to happen?
Oh, I think the biting response would be Kingdom Hearts 3.
Boom! But you know, we forgot to talk about Kingdom Hearts 3. Square Enix is definitely talking about Kingdom Hearts 3,
it's
right?
Definitely going to release a trailer. Yeah. Look, if I'm actually trying to be honest here, what I really want is... I want all of these companies to look at... I want to see smaller games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think I'm going to see that. But I want to see, like... If Ubisoft comes out and says, hey, we have the new Assassin's Creed, but you know what we also have in the tank? These two small games that, hey, we don't expect much from them, but we hope they find an audience and we hope you get you excited. We haven't invested like all of our resources into them so that if they collapse, the entire company fails. That would be really exciting. If it was like there's some evidence that these publishers have R&D, there's some evidence that they are actually researching and giving their creators... their developers new opportunities to explore new titles
mm-hmm.
or new ideas, that I would be excited for. And I feel like that at this point is a massive...
I was going to say, like, I asked you for a vaguely realistic long shot.
If EA comes out there and says, like, hey, we have this idea for, like, a $40 game, that would raise my spirit so much more than any
Bless
of this ever
little,
stuff.
My heart would go three sizes that day.
Yeah.
As for me, my wild, craziest dream long shot, the wildest, most insane game that could be announced for me, I mean, it would have to be, a Vib Ribbon on PlayStation Network. That would really do it for me. And I could really be glad to say that I would be responsible for that.
What do you think we're going to be responsible for this time?
Urguys 2. Let's roll with it. I think I'm going to put my money where my mouth is. Next episode. One second. Where is my wallet?
This is live on air.
This is live on air. Putting $5 on the table. Urguys 2 is not announced. I am donating $5 to a charity.
Perfect. Okay.
If Urguys 2 is not announced.
This is real
best. If Urguys 2 is announced, I'm going to demand $5 from a charity. Watch your back, Square Enix.
Watch your back, United Way.
Watch your back, United Way. Coming for you. God bless the ring and God bless America.
I wanted to end this podcast by requesting the relevance of what we just talked about. We ran an interview with Daniel Kazor of the National Post last year on the importance of E3, and I think it applies this year just as well. A little bit of context before we get started. Daniel Kazor runs the Post Arcade, which is a subsection of the National Post, a national newspaper here in Canada that covers games. Here's us asking him about E3. A lot of people have been arguing this year that E3 is becoming obsolete. Would you agree with that premise?
I don't know if obsolete is quite the right word, but I would say that its place within the video game industry is certainly changing. It used to be the centerpiece of sort of hype for the entire industry, and now it's sort of the centerpiece for a certain type of game within the industry, and its importance overall has gone down significantly.
Now, considering a lot of the major games publication do get to see these games in advance, what purpose do you think E3 serves as it stands?
Well, I think that a lot of the stuff actually, we don't see as much of it in advance as people think. We had one of our writers go down for E3 Judges Week, which was about a month before E3. And he actually said that the vast majority of stuff that actually was shown at E3 wasn't there. That said, the actual trade show aspect of E3 seems to be becoming less and less important as we go on. And it's more and more important what they're saying at these press conferences at the beginning. And Nintendo has basically said, we don't want a press conference. We're just going to do a prepackaged video. And frankly, that seems like it makes a lot more sense. E3 almost is sort of like the day that we will all show these prepackaged videos all at once, just to be able to sort of have a day where everybody's paying attention. And it's when you look at the actual trade show and going there and getting hands-on previews, I mean, that's kind of interesting, but it isn't, there isn't sort of a reason for it in the same kind of way. I don't know that sort of mainstream coverage once a year is actually all that great for either the publication or the video game industry. I don't know that if E3 itself is all that healthy for those mainstream publications that are covering the show in that way. If you look at one particular mainstream publication, the LA Times, which wrote a story about E3, the writer made a stupid brain fart of a typo where he wrote Nintendo instead of Sony. And then the headline writer didn't know anything about anything, so he transposed it into the headline saying that Nintendo was releasing a white PlayStation, and that became a giant internet joke. And it just shows that, you know, when you don't know about a subject, it's hard to cover it, even if you're doing it once a year. I don't really know that E3 is the greatest time for somebody who doesn't know about video games to be covering them. That said, last year, it certainly got the message out about the Xbox's DRM plans. And that sort of permeated itself into mainstream consciousness. So, I mean, maybe there is something to it, but it just seems like when mainstream publications are covering the video games just once a year, there's a whole lot of noise that sort of gets thrown around an echo chamber and then goes through a game of telephone before it gets to people's ears. And then that's what sticks with them for the entire rest of the year. And I don't know how helpful or healthy that is.
E3 is kind of a strange event in the scope of the media. I mean, there's no real equivalent for films. I mean, there's no one day that everyone talks about movies, except for maybe Comic-Con. Do you think that that's kind of, by having all of the games focused on one event, there it kind of dilutes or misrepresents the industry?
I think there's two questions there. First, the fact that there is this big games thing that doesn't really have an analog in other mediums, I think that's cool. I think that's healthy in and of itself. Games are its own thing that have their own culture that sort of represents itself in its own way. Not everything in games has to have an analog in another medium. That said, yes, I do think it sort of misrepresents games, not necessarily because there's just this one thing a year, but because it's loud and so much money is spent on it, and that it isn't especially good at showing anything beyond a flashy sort of 1 or 2 minute trailer of a game, which isn't really what a game is. The amount of money that is spent on some of the stuff at the show, like some of the booths at the show, probably cost more than some small indie games in their entirety. I am sure that Microsoft and Sony probably spent $2 or $3 or $4 million setting up their booth at E3, probably way more than that. But I don't know if that's necessarily indicative of a problem with E3 specifically so much as it is the sort of marketing cycle these games go through. When the PlayStation 4 launched this fall, I was flabbergasted at the amount of money that Sony spent launching it in New York. It was tens of millions of dollars, if not into the hundreds of millions, just for the one event in New York. And to a certain extent, that's Sony saying as showing a confidence in their product, right? You know, and as a company, we can spend this money to launch this thing. But it makes it so it's more about the companies themselves and less about the actual stuff that they're showing, if that makes any sense.
Now, as for the post-arcade, what kind of impact does it actually have on views? Do you actually get a lot more people looking at your site during E3?
It's weird. We definitely see a traffic bump during E3, but I think it's less because any individual story actually gets more views, and it's more because there's so much news happening, and because there's this sort of festival atmosphere around the show. We just generate so much more content that even though each individual story is probably getting about the same amount of traffic as a normal story, we are producing 10 times as many stories, so we're getting 10 times as much traffic because of that. That said, the live blogs for the press conferences do quite well, and we have a lot of people viewing them and sticking on them.
With overall marketing becoming more and more direct, people going to YouTubers, Nintendo having that event, what do you think E3 is going to look like in years to come?
It's hard to tell. I mean, there's sort of two paths for it. One, it could start better integrating some of the more less traditionally developed and published software. So you'll be seeing more Minecrafts, more things like that. And we're already seeing that to a certain extent. I mean, look how much hype that No Man's Sky got when it was presented at the Sony conference. That is a really tiny game, procedurally generated, done by a team of between 4 and 10 people, depending on who you're asking and where it is in development. And if we start seeing more games like that, sort of the higher tier indie games there, I think that E3 could sort of become its own thing. Or it could end up being something that is limited to 2 or 3 companies and become not sort of the monolith that it is now, but still an important industry thing. At the very least, as long as Microsoft and Sony still care about it, there will still be stuff happening at E3. But we've already seen a lot of big publishers pull out. You don't see a Konami show anymore, or a press conference. You don't see an Activision one. You don't see a Square Enix one. All of these people used to have traditional sort of events at the show, and they don't anymore. With Konami in particular, they don't have enough games to actually warrant one. And Activision has their own shows that they do these things at, BlizzCon and their Call of Duty convention. Square Enix, I don't really understand why they don't have a thing at E3, probably because they're a Japanese company and they want to save stuff for the Tokyo Game Show. But yeah, I mean, like, E3 isn't even the biggest think of its type anymore. That would be Gamescom in Europe, which is two or three times bigger, I think.
Quarter of a million people, I think, was last
year. Yeah, yeah. And, well, I mean, the part of that is that they let the public in for the last couple of days. But and actually, a lot of the people showing games there hate the public days. And some of them even actually straight up leave during the public days. But it's still, even if you discount the public days, it's a bigger show than E3, even if it doesn't have sort of the cultural importance of E3. So, you know, I think it will become, to a certain extent, more diluted, and the show will, by necessity, become more diverse as games become more diverse. But I think we'll always have a certain amount of importance as long as the major console manufacturers give it importance.
All right. I'd like to thank you again for your time. That was fantastic.
No problem. And thanks for talking with me.
Daniel Kazor is the editor of Post Arcade and the nighttime editor for the National Post.
You can find their E3 coverage at business.financialpost.com. All right, that's got to cut it for this week. I've been Armin Igbali.
I'm Daniel Rosen.
Make sure to follow us on Twitter. That's at BuiltToPlay, or at our website. That's BuiltToPlay.ca.
Or like our Facebook page, where recently I've been posting pitches for movies that should be games, like Weekend at Bernie's 3, The Party Never Stops, made by the Octodad team.
Plus, we're deep into our latest theme, which is the relationship of games and cinema.
This week, check out the site for the exact opposite of what I just said, which is games that we want to see movie adaptations of.
Ah, man. So, you can follow me personally at Flarkon, that's FLRK, C-O-N.
And I'm at Daniel_Rosen. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless the ring.
Oh, one thing I think we should add in here quickly is we're going to be live tweeting out the press conferences. You can expect to see some of that stuff compiled, and you can expect to see us. We're going to have an E3 special.
We're going to be the official Twitter account of Erguys 2.
Thanks for listening, everyone.